Just so thrilled to have Bill and Diane here. Find out they were going to be here this morning, and I could talk all day long about great and funny things that we have experienced together. But it's just good to have you guys here. By the way, it seems to be a good time for good people to drop in and visit us. Nigel Banks, remember Nigel? Yeah, he'll be here next Sunday. He's in on business. And so he's coming to one. I'm not sure which service he's coming to, but he told me he phoned and said, hey, he said he's coming to town. So that'll be good. You know what? When it's all said and done, it's all about relationships, isn't it? Isn't that really what it is about? When you look back, you say it's about the relationship. We have this person, that person, and we go through cycles. I was telling someone just the other day. I said guys like Glenn Ryland, and somebody said, who? I said, Glenn Ryland. Never heard of him. I said, of course you heard of him. Yeah, he hadn't. Because it's a different era. That was that era. That wasn't that area. They didn't come in until this point. And then that person, it just changes all the time. So that's how you'll be remembered, as that a certain era. And I will too. I will too. So when was Owen here? We can't remember. It's just. Hey, but I did learn one thing here today. I was watching the news. And they said there's a lot of ignorance about people not understanding the game, and even for cheering. And so I said to Val, I said, this is what we should watch, because and we'll get, at least we have some insight. So apparently, if you're a really good Seahawks fan, there's a cheer that goes like this, Seahawk. All right, you got that? All right, so we'll just try that before we have the preaching here this morning. All right, here it goes. Seahawks! Seahawks! That's all you need to know. All right, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know anything else. Except the good ads. And the Clydesdale horses and the puppies. That's amazing. All right. Now we'll zero in. That's good. Turn to your, if you have a Bible with you, you can watch the screen. If not, to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. I think this is one of the most important things, not my sermon per se, but the concept, the importance of learning how to walk in wisdom and to be led of the Lord in the paths of wisdom. Of all your life, you're going to know anything and say, how can I be a wise person? How can I be a wise elder? How can I be a wise pastor? How can I be a wise businessman? How do I do that? Well, the Bible tells us how that happens. I called this, if you're looking for a title, I called this Calling Out for Insight. Oh, how badly, how desperately I need to know the secret of walking in wisdom. There's so many possibilities of getting it wrong. There's so many moments, and you shouldn't have taken that turn at Albuquerque, but you did. And now you're off track. It was wrong choice, wrong decisions, no wisdom whatsoever flowing in your life. And so if you can learn to grow in the things of the Lord and grow in the heart of God, which is wisdom, you will be miles down the road from other people because you would have walked in wisdom. And so as I share things, you may want, some of the stuff is not in your notes. Well, I guess it alludes to it, but I threw a couple of extra verses in because I was kind of touched by the verse. So just, you may write something down if it's extra and scratch it out if it's not necessary for you. So here's the text. Yes, if you call out for wisdom. Or, pardon me. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Isn't that interesting? Call out. If you call out for insight, this isn't just, oh Lord, give us wisdom. This is a crying to God. Say, God, don't let me miss this. Show me what to do with this. Show me what to do with that. I'm calling out for insight and I'm raising my voice. When is the last time you raised your voice for wisdom? Said, we have such a great potential of getting it wrong. In every part of our life is that, Lord, we're crying out, wisdom, wisdom, God, give us wisdom. May we not rely on our own understanding, but on you, O God, who is the source of wisdom. Wow, that would make a powerful difference if we were indeed calling out and raising our voice in order that we would have wisdom to make it through this life and to come out at the other end, knowing that you walked in wisdom. So he goes on to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4. For if you seek it, what, wisdom, understanding, if you seek it like silver. Now, you know and I know that if there was, there's silver just out in that parking lot, millions of dollars worth of silver, we'd be killing each other in the stampede heading out the door. It would be overwhelming because it's search for it as hidden treasures. And you know and I know, if we knew there was some hidden treasures, what would I would throw in all, everything would be thrown into it so we can go and find that silver and find those treasures. We'd seek it like that, like desperate people say, there are gold in them, there are hills. And we're going to seek that with all of our heart and might because it's silver and we'll be rich and we'll be wealthy. He says, search for wisdom the same way. As if there's millions of dollars being hidden. And you know where it is and you're going to gain that type of wisdom and that type of insight. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 give us something helpful. Here's what it is. Maybe you haven't thought of this verse. It's talking about the spiritual man, the carnal man, and the worldly man. And so 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person, that is, by the way, that's the person without the Spirit. They have not, the life of God has not yet come into them. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. You know that you cannot know true wisdom apart from a living relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can't. Things seem folly. Your neighbor, if I say, you know, we should pray about it, they would go into hysteria, wouldn't they? They say, oh, we're going to pray about it. How quaint. How unusual. What are we going to pray about? We pray? Why would we pray? Because we need wisdom. Why? You can't use your own brain? How stupid are you? Well, of course, you're one of those Christians. You have to, you know, you don't think for yourself anyway. So that's how it would be perceived. The natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. I need to remember that over and over again through my whole life. There's something important here because if you're going to interact with people, it doesn't make sense. You see, I just feel we should pause and just commit this to the Lord. It doesn't make sense to people. So don't throw your pearls before swine, as it were, in the sense that you're wasting your prayer because they don't have any sense of that. So the natural man, so you can't know the wisdom of God if you don't know God. You have to have a relationship with him. I have to have a relationship with him. And out of that relationship, as I cry out, as I call, then something powerful and something wonderful happens. But if not, then I can't, it's just folly to me. This is craziness and unnecessary. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 is extremely helpful on this, taking this thought further. For the Lord, where does it, see, so here answers the question, where does this stuff come from then? If you can't turn to the world for wisdom, mind you, there are some wiser people than others. I think there's some very brilliant people, but that's different. I'll tell you why that is in just a moment here. But where does it come from? If we are going to be wise people making wise decisions and people seek you out, and they will, I can guarantee you that if you walk a life of wisdom, people say, can I see you for a minute? I was just going through this, you know, and then they tell you something. And because they sensed or they heard that you were a person of wisdom. And I thought, wouldn't you like to be known as a wise person rather than a fool? That you lived your whole life in foolishness. So where does it come from? Well, this verse tells us, the Lord gives wisdom. He gives wisdom. That's where it comes from. God will give you wisdom if you cry out for it. From his mouth comes knowledge. Wow. From his mouth comes understanding. comes from the Lord. You know, even, I'm just throwing out illustrations, but you meet somebody and you feel kind of some kind of attraction for them, and you're wondering if maybe this could be a future partner, not sure, kind of confused about some things, there's some pros and cons, and you're just not sure of where you of what you should do. You know, there's where I would say to anyone and everyone who's in that situation, fling yourself on the carpet, close your eyes and cry out and say, God, I have to get this right. Should I pursue this relationship? Is this not a good thing? Lord, if it's not a good thing, take this from me. Do not let me be deceived. May I be wise on this. May I be clever on this. May I make a good choice on this and not go off where I might go off. Lord, I'm asking. Don't let me, what I want, what you want. I don't want what I want. I want your will. Now, can you imagine that prayer? That's your cry of your life regarding relationships or regarding starting a business. Or, well, there's just so many, right, being part of a church. Decisions to be made, right? So we need the wisdom that comes from God's mouth, because the Lord gives wisdom. You can depend on it. It will be there for you. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus, that was the others were the Old Testament, but the New Testament, there's some interesting thoughts here. Jesus said, you have hidden these things. What things? The things of wisdom. You've hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and you've revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Isn't it interesting that these things have been kept from the so-called wise person? In other words, there are young adults here. There are perhaps even older teenagers, or maybe even some younger teenagers that exhibit really amazing wisdom. Seems like wise beyond their years, wise beyond their training. They just have a wisdom about them. And no doubt they must have prayed for that, because he said he hides these things from the wise, the one who knows it all, the arrogant one, the one who doesn't need to bother to pray because you've got it all figured out. That is hidden from you. And it's revealed to little children. Well, you know who that is? That's me. That's you. When I say, I'm not smart enough to make it through life without the hand of God speaking into my heart and my life. And I'll end up, I've often thought, what would happen if I hadn't have found the Lord? What a bizarre world, a bizarro world, even better, that I would be in. I'd probably be down at the airport wearing orange robes and chanting. I have a feeling that's probably where I would have been. And a little off track, but not even knowing that I was off track. And God in his mercy steered my life, and I'm so thankful for that. But he reveals it to the youngest among us, to the simplest among us. You don't have to be bright and clever. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. If you have a little child's heart where you cry out as a child, I mean childlike, not childish, but childlike. If you cry out and don't have a large L on your back for learner, not loser, but for learner. And he says, yes, Father, for this was your gracious will. Because he takes great wisdom. It is just quite touching, actually. He keeps things from the wise. You think, you say, well, give it to the wise. Give it to the understanding. Give it to those people. They'll do far more than these morons you're giving it to. And the Lord says, no, give it to the little children who are asking for wisdom. They're dependent. They don't have it all together. They don't have it all together. That's how you can make advancements. The minute you kneel down and say, Lord, we can't possibly know what we're supposed to do. Do we buy that house? How, Lord, would we ever know? How would we know whether we're supposed to get that house or not? How would we possibly know? You, God, must show us. Don't let us make a mistake on this. And all of a sudden, there's wisdom coming. And you weren't particularly smart, but you look back and say, oh, it was really amazing that that thing worked out because this happened and that happened, but I didn't even know at the time. And I say, that's how your life can be. Your life can have that kind of a wonder to it, that you were just, you were on the right track, but it's not, it wasn't really you, because you don't, you've already confessed to the Lord that you don't have that ability. You're not all that insightful. And God says, okay, but because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. You know, wouldn't you like to have heard this when you were about 12? That God would guide you and direct you. And most of us have learned it the hard way, right? We veered off somehow, thinking maybe God was too slow, or it didn't seem like a, you know, I don't know what reason, but how wonderful that the youngest here, the little children, so practice being that. I'll do the same with you. We'll practice being simple. And as a church, we'll say, Lord, where do we go from here? Because we don't know for sure where we're supposed to go, but would you guide us? And will you direct us? Of course he will. Can you? And I'll tell you why that's going to be true too. So calling out and crying, that's from Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. So we acknowledge that we need the wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. That's the wisdom. The wisdom not that comes from below, James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 5. We need the wisdom from above. If any of you lack wisdom, that'd be me. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask for it. And he said, you will not be upbraided for it. Anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. Here's an opportunity. God's not just saying, you're lacking wisdom, ask me. I will spare you. I will guide you. I will direct you because you lack wisdom. And I find that most of life is that way, isn't it? This requires something. That requires some fine-tuning. This, you know, you're not sure about that. So many things. So much about life. It's complicated. And you can get hurt and you can get wounded. And you've heard me pray countless times over little babies where we say, Lord, may there never be a day when they're sidelined in life. May there never be a day where they're off the side of the road of life, out of gas and out of everything and out of luck. And they've made the worst choice of their life, and now they're paying for it in ways that will take the rest of their life to try and recover from it. Oh God, may they never be in that situation. And what is it we say? That Lord, that the wisdom of God would be upon them. And they would be helping people beside the road, but they wouldn't be stuck beside the road. There's just that awareness that I think that we can have in our lives, that God is guiding us and directing us. So if any of you lack wisdom, this is the good news. I proclaim it to you today. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. Ask boldly, because he says, and he says, don't be double-minded. Don't be double-minded. Be clear-minded about this. That you know, it's yes and yes. It's not yes and no. It's yes and yes, the divine yes. So in James, it talks about the meekness of wisdom. The meekness of, that's just associated with chapter 3 and verse 13 to verse 15. There's something about it. If you're seeking the wisdom from God, you tend to be not arrogant. Maybe there's some exceptions perhaps, but I don't think there's too many. With wisdom comes the real meekness. You're not boasting. You know that only by the grace of God we've been spared things. And so this meekness of wisdom, again, we would encourage each other to pursue it with all of our hearts. Because this meekness of wisdom, this is the wisdom that comes down from above. And so God will download on you insights and direction that normally you wouldn't have probably guessed that, or you wouldn't have gone that way, but God was in it. And it comes from above, not from below. The James tells you quite a bit about that. So it can be wisdom for our children. It can be wisdom to know what to do and when to do it. Is now the time? Well, I don't know. We have to ask God for his wisdom. And I think it's not that we don't ask for it. I think many times they say, Lord, grant it, give us your wisdom. But There's no urgency to it. I think it's in the urgency that progress is made. It's crying out. Like, cry out. Don't let this, you know, whatever it will be. And so a little bit of wisdom would be fine. No, it says, God, help me. Help me, Lord. May I not, whether I turn to the right or whether I turn to the left, may I hear your voice saying, oh, and this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, thank you. I don't think I would have gotten that kind of, and Lord, guide us and direct us too. It's no, without your guidance, we're bankrupt. It's going to go sideways. Absolutely, you're going to be off. And so we ask boldly in that meekness of wisdom, not having it together all the way we wish we did. Crying, calling out. I see, I don't hear that very often. Maybe I don't do that very often either, for that matter. But I see something, and I'm going to, by God's grace, practice some of that. Now, there's insights from God. Chronicles, or Kings, rather, chapter 3. This is really a wonderful, oops. Here we are. 1 Kings chapter 3. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father, although I am but a little child. See the meekness of wisdom? I'm but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. I put a little side point here on Psalm Psalm 121, verse 7. He said, may you be blessed in your going out and your coming in. And Solomon now is crying out. He said, I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. I'm not quite sure what that is. That would be interesting to pursue that. What is that? Is that some Jewish thing? What is that? I don't know how to go out or come in. And yet, the Bible says, you're blessed. You're blessed and you're going out and blessed and you're coming in. So there is a blessing at some point that you get and you receive it. But this is what he felt. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people that I may discern between good and evil. Isn't that valuable in itself? To be able to discern, say, sensing something, if there's something about it that's not quite right. For those able to govern this your great people. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, now catch this, this is so sweet. Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life, could have. He could have said, I don't think Solomon would or God would have been upset. You've not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind so that none like you has ever been before and none like you will ever rise again. There will never be another Solomon because he asked for wisdom. Wow. I give you also what you have not asked. Because maybe we were tempted to ask. We asked for wisdom, but we were tempted to ask for power or we were tempted to ask for love or something. He says, because you have not asked both riches and honor so that no other king shall compare with you. He said, I'm throwing the rest in. Because you got it right regarding the wisdom thing, I'm throwing in blessings and direction. And he said, you kept my statutes and commandments, and I will lengthen your days too. God was, for whatever reason, thrilled that he didn't ask for anything. I could have asked for his enemies, could have asked for riches, could have asked for everything. And I suspect that God would have done it. But this was better. He said, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. You don't know how to go out or come in? Well, welcome to the welcome aboard. I don't either. But I suspect that if we cry out, he will help us. Now, if you turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 28. This is what I wrote in the side of my notes, a treasure hunt. This is God's treasure hunt. Job 28, verse 12. He lists, you have to look at it fairly close, more than we have time here this morning. But in chapter 8, read the whole chapter, Job 28, when you get home or tonight in your, when you're having your devotion, whenever you want to read it, but look at it all. And so Job 28, 12, because he says, silver is hidden and gold is hidden and these stones are hidden and everything is hidden. It's all hidden. And then he asks the question. But where in this treasure hunt, this divine treasure hunt, where then does wisdom come? Where then, if these things, if gold is hidden and silver is hidden and all these stones are hidden, and where is the place of understanding? In Job 28:31, hidden from sight, can't see it. So Job 28:28, he raises it again. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. You know, there was quite a few months ago now. I guess the time has gone by. But help me with this guy. Saddleback. Rick Warren, one of the talk shows said to him, why do you bother taking a stand on the stand that you've taken, Larry? Rick. I should have thought this through a bit better. But it's valuable. And he said, why do you do that? You know what he said to Larry King? It was Larry King he's talked to. He said, because I'm more afraid of God, Larry, than I am of you. Is that interesting? The reason I take this stand that I've taken, he said, is because I fear God more than you. I thought, wow, what wisdom. And that's what guided him and directed him. I won't do that because what? The fear of the Lord. And in a society where we're fast losing that, this is pretty precious stuff. Behold the fear of the Lord. That's wisdom to turn away from evil. It's understanding. So how do you make it work? That's the harder question. How does one start building up wisdom, if that's what we do? Well, I thought of some things. Four things. One is just reading. The Word of God. Even when Carla was reading the scriptures, it was precious. I wanted to say, this is the Word of the Lord. Because it had that feel about it. This is the Word of the Lord. We actually believe this is the Word of the Lord. The writer in Peter says that holy men of God were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, God didn't write the Bible. Men wrote the Bible. They were carried along. They were told, in other words, they were told what to write. And that's why Job comes out this way and 1 Peter comes out over there. So we read it, not just saying it's a scripture, but it's a scripture, it is the Word of the Lord. Where we get our doctrine, but not just, and our standards, and we read it often, but it's also the source of wisdom. So we start with reading. It's just simple, whether you're reading at night or reading in the morning. We're reading the Word of the Lord, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, and we believe that there's strength and insight as a result of that. Then, of course, we can take another perspective of it, and we can meditate. Where you've been thinking on something. For example, I've been thinking about Job and this hidden treasure. He's talking about all the stuff that's hidden, and it can't be revealed unless the fear of the Lord comes upon us, but meditating, thinking about that verse. Not so worried about doctrine. I mean, doctrine's important, but it's at this point, we're just meditating on it and not trying to figure out who 666 is, just meditating on the things of God. And then, of course, there's musing. I've often mused. I mean, I'm just bouncing some thoughts around. And it's nice, to, you know what's nice to go along is go for a drive with somebody from the church, preferably. And you're driving along, you've got an hour or so to kill. And the one person says, you know, I've been thinking. The other day I was wondering about if God, you know, and you share that thing. You say, wow, yeah. And you look back and you finally come to the end of your journey. The best part of the trip was just talking together and musing. The possibility. Not quite sure. We're not going to die for it necessarily, but it was just interesting, and it brought us to attention. And you can go for hours driving, talking, musing on the things of the Lord. And then lastly, there's pondering. This is pondering it, not quite sure, but it makes an interesting discussion, and we can learn some things from it. Yeah, here's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. These holy men were carried along by the Spirit of God, and I'm grateful for that, what they directed and what they wrote. So good. God's word is the source of wisdom. One of the best. One of the most important. Now, lastly, we come to deep riches. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to verse 36. I asked Cam about this verse. He couldn't think we'd ever sang it, so we didn't sing it because I couldn't remember if we did or not. But it somewhere in the back of my subconscious mind, I thought we sang this once, but it's still powerful in its reading. Romans chapter 11, 33 to 36. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom. Riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable are his ways. Verse 34. For who has known the mind of the Lord? By the way, I'll just pause here. This is just before that historic passage of Scripture of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where he says, therefore, brethren, I beseech you. Right, you know that. Be transformed, not by the will of God, but transformed by God's word. So, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Verse 35. Or who has given a gift to him that he might be prepaid? Or who is that? Nobody. Verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. I don't know where else to start for all of us, except we have played the fool many times, thinking that we were smart enough to handle life without, you know, bringing God, except for when it goes sideways, when it goes wrong. We have been foolish. The Bible talks about the wise, and it talks about the foolish. And we have a choice. The wise man builds his house on the rock, the foolish man, right? You go right through all of Scripture, and there's this choice of what we want to be. But mostly, I think that if we pray and we ask God every time, if you're following along, you say, Lord, is there something here that I should take notice of? There's something here from the Scriptures that I need to, you know, just to observe a little bit here? I don't know. All I know is that there are people who said, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what about that, but I asked God, and I got alone with the Lord, and I've been guided and directed. So here's a prayer for wisdom. It's actually much more profound than this. It doesn't come out the way it really, the way I feel it in my heart, but here it is. Lord, I've just read your promise to give wisdom for those who long for it. You will be the most wealthiest person in this church, for sure, and in the whole area where we live, because it's where treasure comes from. Lord, I've just read your promise to give wisdom to those who long for it and who will meet your conditions. Lord, I want to be saturated with your wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I want to be saturated in it. Don't you? I think you, I'm sure, I know you do. I don't want to just be touched a bit and say, oh, I had quite a bit of insight about that. I guess I was right about that. I don't want to be right about something and you wrong. I just want to know that the wisdom that we had was godly wisdom. And that the Lord received all the glory and all the praise and all the honor because it was unto you, Lord, unto you be honor and glory. If God gives you wisdom, it's not so you can boast about it. In other words, if there's this meekness of wisdom, it's that you can give God praise and say, if there's any wisdom in my life, it's because God put it there, because I asked him. I asked him guidance for raising our kids. I asked him for wisdom regarding our finances. I asked God regarding our retirement. I asked God because of I've been troubled by these things, and I asked God about it. And I committed it, and I cried out to him. I cried out to him, and he has guided. This, you would be crazy not to plug into this. This is a promise from God. If any man or woman lacks wisdom, ask of God, and he will give you liberally. And you won't be by the side of the road, but you'll be flourishing. You'll be going out and coming in. You won't be that little child. Say, I'm a little child. I don't think he really was. I think that's how he felt. He felt so, all right, I can't even go in or go out. And God says, no, but I'll guide you and I'll direct you. And then the Lord was so pleased because you chose wisdom. Oh, man. Because you did. I'll give you wisdom. I'll make you wise. And not just in our church, but way beyond our church. A whole congregation of people that walk in the fear of the Lord and the wisdom of God. That's the possibility of this thing. I'm sure it is. A wise church that does things because we refuse to step out in our own strength. We refuse to try to figure it out. We're saying, we are never going to figure this out. And isn't there a lot of things? There's so many things. If it's up to me to figure it out, you better get off the boat now because it's, no. But whoever calls on the name of the Lord. And if we do that, and that's why this prayer, Lord, saturate me with wisdom. By the way, someone says, well, I'm a lot wiser now than I am when I was younger. That's helpful and that's encouraging. But there is no fool like an old fool. So we have to be careful of that. Just because it's not just a matter of years. There are some people who are older, but they certainly aren't wiser. I want to go for the gold, for the hidden things. The things that he hides from children, or hides from the wise, and he gives to little children because we're just childlike. Lord, you said you would give us wisdom. I'm thanking you for it now. Thank you for the wisdom that I'm going to walk in. Thank you, I'm not going to veer to the left or to the right, other than being directed by God. Thank you, Lord, that if people come to me, because I've saturated in my heart the Word of God, I've meditated on it, I've dwelt on it, I've mused on it, so somehow, some way, over time, it has come out as wisdom. And that's your inheritance, that's your possession. This is wisdom for you personally, wisdom for your family, wisdom for the church, wisdom, you know, there's just so many areas that it touches on. But it's pretty exciting that if we call out for insight, he will not tease me and say, oh, sorry. No, he will not tease you. He will not play with you. He will not say, well, I don't know where God is. God is, if you asked him to give you wisdom and you cried out, and not just, Lord bless me, but cried out, okay? If you did that, then you're on the right track. Just now thank him. Thank him for the wisdom. Thank him for the guidance. And say, Lord, I'm going to need more. He said, I know you are. But Lord, I'm going to need some more. Yes, you are. you're going to need, right till the time we feel his arms around us, right? Isn't that how it works? We feel his arms around us, we know we've come home to heaven, then we don't need it. But up till then, we so badly need it. And I get glimpses of it once in a while. I mean, I can be the chaos leader here, you know, going down the wrong road of life, because I just don't have that natural ability. But God has given me his wisdom where I lack. And to, hey, by the way, here's something else. And wrap people around you who are wise people. That's a really crucial thing. You can be, have the wrong people wrap, you know, you, so wrap around yourself the people that value wisdom. And it will be powerful in every way. Well, we're going to have a baptism candidate in just a moment here. But let's stand together. Just give you, you've been sitting. Why don't we just stand to pray? And then we'll invite Marcel. And Brian. So, but we'll bow your heart with me, will you? Lord, we can say with the psalmist, had it not been for the Lord, had it not been for the Lord, had it not been for the Lord. That's our testimony. We thank you. We praise you. And I'd ask you, Lord, now to saturate everybody here. Lord, where we lack natural ability and insight, Lord, give us yours. Be thou our wisdom. Be thou. Oh, be thou our wisdom, God. Show us the way. Guide us and direct us. May we not, Lord, be known all our life as chaos people, but may we be known as the children of God who know where the sources and the hidden gems are. And we'll bless you and praise you. Thank you. God, we love you and all you're doing in our hearts. And we thank you that we can walk in wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.